Good day! I'm Adam Angst, publisher of the Take Control eBooks and producer of the Take Control Live online presentations. This is the second of four presentations that Joe Kissel is giving on the topic of working with your iPad. For those that missed his introduction last time, Joe is one of the best-known names in the world of Apple writers, thanks to his contributions to Tidbits, his articles for Macworld, and his best-selling Take Control eBooks. Joe's technical expertise and amiable style has also made him sought after for talks at conferences such as Macworld Expo and the Macmania Cruises, and he's given innumerable presentations to Macintosh user groups around the globe. Before I hand the microphone over to Joe, a few administrative reminders. If you are viewing this presentation live, please use the live chat box to ask questions or make comments, which we'll address at the end, time permitting. The lovely and talented Tanya Angst will be monitoring the chat during the presentation, and she'll rephrase questions as necessary, but please try to keep them concise. Remember, too, you do not have to take notes, because we'll update your season pass with full notes about everything Joe says, complete with links to every product mentioned. Look for email with the update shortly after the presentation. Should there be technical difficulties, which we really hope not, sit tight and reload the page for information about what's going on. Without further ado, then, I give you Joe Kissel. Please give him back when you're done. Joe?
Thank you, Adam. It's nice to be back with you. Since the last presentation, I have shifted continents. I am coming to you today from sunny but cold Southern California. I'm in my new home and my new office. It's a little bit bare right now, so we have this nice little studio effect behind me. Next time, I hope that I have actual bookshelves and objects here. But at least I have, you know, light and internet connection and a computer, so I'm very happy to be back with you. A few quick notes. Last time, we talked about the three R's. We talked about reading, writing, and arithmetic, or the modern incarnation, word processing, spreadsheets, and presentations. We talked about note-taking. We talked about typing and using a stylus and getting text into your iPad and working with it there. Today, we're going to shift to talk about something else. We're going to talk about documents, how to get them onto your iPad, how to get them off your iPad, how to deal with them once they're on your iPad, how to move them around, dealing with PDFs and printing and all sorts of things relating to documents. Now, most of what I show you today is going to be on my older iPad 2 that's still running iOS 5.0.1. And as you recall from last time, the reason I'm doing this is because it's jailbroken and I can have this a nice little thing where I can show you where I'm tapping, this little dot there. So at a certain moment, I'll switch to my iPad 3, but I'm just going to call attention to a few things that are different between iOS 5 if you happen to be using that on an older iPad and iOS 6. I also want to mention that one of the things we promised you in this presentation is that we would update you with anything that is new since the last presentation. And actually, nothing about what I told you last time has really changed yet. Although, just yesterday, I was reading rumors about supposed new iPads coming in March, maybe a new fifth generation iPad, maybe a new iPad mini. I tend not to give these rumors very much weight, but you never know. So perhaps next time around we'll have more interesting things to cover. So without any more of the introductory stuff, I want to get into documents. And the first question I want to ask and answer is, why are we even talking about document management? I mean, this isn't really a topic we would have to spend time on if I were talking about a Mac or a PC, because, well, you just put your documents on a disk and you put them in whatever folder you want and then you open them in whatever app you want. What's even the question? Well, the reason this gets so interesting on an iPad is one word, and that is sandboxing. You may have heard about sandboxing. Sandboxing actually does exist on the Mac as well in a somewhat different form. I want to explain briefly what sandboxing means in terms of document management, why it's such a big deal, and then how we're going to deal with that. So let's say you're on a Mac or a PC and you have a bunch of different apps. In this example, I have Pages, I have TextEdit, I have Microsoft Word. Now, all these apps share a common storage space for their documents. So you just put your documents on a disk, you put them on a server, you put them in your Dropbox, it doesn't matter. They can all intermingle. Now, it so happens that Pages creates Pages documents, and TextEdit creates text documents, and Microsoft Word creates Word documents. But they all live in the same common storage area, and there's nothing at all preventing this from happening. So you can absolutely open a Word document in Pages. You can absolutely open a text edit document in Word. You can use drag and drop. You can use the file menu, the open command. There's nothing preventing one app from seeing documents that were created in another app because they all live in the same place. Now let's contrast this with the situation on an iPad, which of course is true of an iPhone too. On an iPad, everything lives in its own sandbox. So here's a little sandbox, and we have Pages in the Pages sandbox. Now, all of the documents that Pages creates and works with are within its own space, its own sandbox, and that includes its settings. What this means is that Pages can't see outside its sandbox. It doesn't have access to some system-wide file system, and at the same time, no other app can see into the Pages sandbox. Now, this is done for very important reasons, partly for performance and partly for security. The fact that all of your apps are in their own little protected space means it's very, very difficult for malware or any kind of virus or Trojan horse to do damage. It's hard for a misbehaving app to cause damage to another app. It's hard for files to get trampled on by some errant app. That's a good thing, but it also has some implications that we'll be talking about and working through. Now, in this illustration, I have Pages and a bunch of Pages apps. I want to emphasize the fact that this isn't about file formats. So let's say that the app we're talking about is Dropbox, and Dropbox, again, is in its own sandbox. Now, you can have all sorts of different files in your Dropbox. You might have a Pages document, you might have a PDF, a Word file, a text document. It's not about file formats, it's about access. So picture this. You're on a playground, and there are kids playing in an actual sandbox. It's the Pages sandbox. And they're all playing with their files. Now, there's a fence, and across the fence there's another sandbox. Well, here's the GoodReader sandbox. Now, one of the kids playing in the Pages sandbox says, "You know, I've got this ball in my hands. I think I'm just gonna lob it over the fence, and hey, it lands in that other sandbox on the other side of the fence." Now, you can do this. We'll be demonstrating in a little bit how one app can send a document sort of blindly to another app. And what you can see here is that I don't just have one document that two different apps are accessing like you would have on a Mac or a PC. I've made a copy of that app. So there's a copy in the Pages sandbox, and there's another copy of the same document in the GoodReader sandbox. This is the way things work on an iPad. There is no central storage place where documents can live and be accessed by multiple apps. Instead, you have to make copies. Now, it is true that a lot of apps can talk to the cloud. They can talk to Dropbox, they can talk to various other cloud servers, they can talk to iCloud, they can talk to an FTP server or a WebDAV server. And when you're within that app, you can read or write files to that remote location, but only when you're within that app. You're still sandboxed, so a remote server can't reach into your iPad and into a particular app and change anything. This is something that you have to control manually, and it's quite secure, but then again, it introduces layers of awkwardness that you don't have to deal with on a Mac or a PC. So this whole sandboxing situation, the fact that every app has its own storage space for documents, is basically the problem that we want to solve and the thing that makes dealing with documents on an iPad more challenging than on a Mac or a PC. Now, I'm going to talk a lot about different apps and tools and techniques for managing documents on an iPad, but I just want to get this out of the way first. There are three apps that I'm going to mention repeatedly, and that I'm going to really strongly recommend. If you get nothing else out of this presentation, I'm going to recommend that you go out right now. Hey, just click the pause button. It's okay. You can come back and pick it up. Just go out right now and get these three apps. So the first one is GoodReader. I'll mention GoodReader several more times. I'll show it to you a couple of times. is an all-purpose app, not only for reading documents, as the name suggests, but also for managing them, getting them onto and off of your iPad. It's very powerful, and I highly recommend it. It's $5. The second thing is Dropbox. The Dropbox cloud storage service is free for up to 2 gigabytes of data, and you can pay if you want to store more than that. And the Dropbox app is also free. It is incredibly useful. We'll be talking about it multiple times today. I highly recommend that you get it. Then finally, if you do any work on your iPad with PDFs beyond simply reading them, displaying them, I'm going to recommend an app called, PDF Pen for iPad. Now, it's a little more expensive. It's $15, but in my opinion, that is money very well spent because it is an extremely powerful, easy to use, and useful tool. Again, I'll be showing you PDF Pen for iPad a little bit later, but I wanted to just say up front, these three tools together will give you most of the document management capabilities on your iPad that you'll need. All right, so first I want to talk about this concept of getting stuff onto your iPad, getting it off of your iPad, and hopefully keeping it in sync with your Mac or your PC. There are four or five main avenues or main techniques you might use to do this. And I'm just going to list them now, and then I'll demonstrate them and talk about them in more detail in a moment. So you can sync documents between your iPad and your Mac or PC, either using USB or wirelessly. Now, the old-fashioned way of doing it, if you will, is to use iTunes as a conduit. You can either hook up a cable, or you can use Wi-Fi to get your iPad to talk to iTunes, and then you can access individual apps and their documents within iTunes. I'll show you that in a moment. Second way is apps that have built-in Wi-Fi servers. So you go into a particular app, you turn on its Wi-Fi server, and then you can connect to it through a web browser on any Mac or PC or anything else, and transfer files directly to and from that app. The third category is iCloud. So iCloud will use, depending on your iPad and your settings, either a Wi-Fi connection or a cellular connection. And the particular aspect of iCloud that we're going to talk about today is documents in the cloud, which is a way of keeping particular documents from a particular app in sync across devices. And then the final technique is using, again, Wi-Fi or cellular with other cloud-based services. Now, I've listed these techniques in this order because they are in order from my least favorite to my most favorite. I would really rather not use iTunes. I find it to be the most cumbersome of these. However, it does have certain advantages I'll mention. Almost all the time, I use the last of these techniques. I use cloud-based services. And the reason I use those is that, as we'll see in a moment, cloud-based services can sort of stand in for that missing general all-purpose file system on iPad. All right, so I want to show you syncing via iTunes, and in this case I'll be using a Wi-Fi connection, and although it looks exactly the same over USB, and also this in-app Wi-Fi technique. So I'm going to switch to my Mac, and you'll see that I'm running iTunes here, and I've already selected my iPad 2, and I'm going to go up here and click on the Apps tab. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the Apps tab to this file sharing section, there's this list of all of the different apps on your iPad that use documents. So if you select an app, I'm using GoodReader in this example, there's a list of the documents that are currently in GoodReader in this particular app on your iPad. And I'm just going to grab one here. Oops, I'm going to grab the handbook from my camera. And I'm just going to drag it onto my desktop. And that's done. I'm going to drag a file from my desktop into GoodReader. And that's done. Now, one of the things I want you to notice here is that when you use iTunes as a conduit, what I just did there happened live in real time. So it's not a question of you have to sort of set up what you want to transfer and then click a sync button and wait for it to happen. No, no, no. It is as though you have mounted your iPad as an external disk and you are copying files over in both directions live. The second thing I wanted to mention is that word copy. Just as individual apps on your iPad are sandboxed from each other, they can only have their own copies of files. You don't move files back and forth. the same thing happens here. So I copied a file from my iPad to my Mac. I copied a file from my Mac to my iPad. I didn't move them. Now, the other thing, of course, is that I've only added a file and taken a file from Goodreader. If I wanted to transfer the very same file to another app, I'd have to come down here and say, well, I want to go into JotNot Pro and I want to add something or move something for that, or I want to get onto the Kindle app or the iBooks app or whatever. The great thing about using iTunes is that it's much more secure, particularly if you're connected with a USB cable. So you don't have to worry about encryption, you don't have to worry about anybody sniffing your data. It's just going directly from your Mac or PC to your iPad. So it's very secure, and if that is a concern for you or for your business, that is one good reason to use iTunes. It's also very obvious where the documents are going, and you can see them transfer in real time. So it's probably the most secure of the methods, and it's the most straightforward in terms of seeing what is happening, but I like it the least because it seems to require the most number of steps, and I have to have physical access to my Mac or my PC to be able to pull that off. Now let me show you a different approach. This is using in-app Wi-Fi. So I'm going to switch back to, in this case, Goodreader. Goodreader, I'll be showing you Goodreader again. It is an all-purpose document management app on the iPad. Down here at the bottom, there's a little Wi-Fi symbol, which I'm going to tap. And that is going to turn on Goodreader's built-in Wi-Fi server. So right now, Goodreader is broadcasting to my local network over Wi-Fi its list of documents. If I now switch back to my Mac and go to Safari, I can connect to Goodreader. I made a bookmark with my address in there. And I click on my documents, and here in a web browser is a list of all the documents in Goodreader. Now, this isn't particularly pretty. I can view the documents, I can download them, I can upload documents, in this case, only one at a time. So it's a little bit cumbersome, but the great thing about this is that it allows you to exchange documents back and forth with your iPad, even if you don't have a computer handy that has iTunes on it that you can physically plug into or you can pair with over Wi-Fi. So you can do this anywhere. You're at a friend's house or you're at another place of business and you really need to get a document onto or off of your iPad. This technique should work as long as you can have both the Mac or PC and the iPad on the same Wi-Fi network. All right, so I'm going to stop that and we will see Goodreader again in a few minutes. Now I want to talk about documents in the cloud. So documents in the cloud is a feature of iCloud. iCloud, of course, is Apple's internet service. It's free unless you want extra features like iTunes Match or extra storage. And most people use most people use iCloud for things like email and documents and syncing bookmarks and things like that. There's a particular usage of iCloud that I want to talk about today. In the PDF handout that you'll get, I talk about how to set this up and turn it on. I'm not going to get into that right now. It's pretty easy. But it's called Documents in the Cloud. It basically works like this. Here is Pages on a Mac. Choose File, Open, and you get the Open dialog. And although it's probably a little bit hard to see in this image, there are two buttons in the upper left-hand corner of this. There's an iCloud button and an On My Mac button. So you click the iCloud button, and here are all the Pages documents that are stored in iCloud. Now, if I then go to Pages on my iPad, I will see exactly the same list of documents. Now, I took these screenshots at different times, so you notice there's one extra document on the iPad, so sorry about that. But in theory, if you looked at these at the same time, you would see exactly the same list of documents. So if you have Pages running on, you know, your iPhone, if you have it running on another iPad, if you have it running on another Mac, all of the instances of Pages, of that single app, will see the same files. And in theory, And I'm saying in theory because you're going to see why in a little bit. In theory, they all stay magically in sync. So you modify a Pages file on your Mac, and then you go over to your iPad, and look, it's just there. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't even have to save it. It just magically updated. It's the same, all the same files, automatically saved and automatically updated to the very same status and state and location. Now, when Documents in the Cloud works, it works pretty well. Sometimes you get weird, inexplicable syncing errors, and we'll probably see one of those in a few minutes. But the thing to notice about this is that because of sandboxing, Pages can only see Pages documents, and not Pages file format. I'm talking about the documents that are within the Pages sandbox. The only exception to this with Apple's iWork apps is that they can not only connect to Documents in the Cloud, but they can connect to web dev servers, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But basically, if I have some Word document that's not in the Pages sandbox that I want to open in Pages, Documents in the Cloud won't help me. There are ways that you can get external documents in and out, but they're kind of cumbersome. So this is not like iDisk, this is not like Dropbox, this is not a common file storage area. This is only for getting documents between instances of a single app. Then there is my favorite category, which is wireless syncing to the cloud. So you have a cloud-based file storage service like Dropbox or Box.net or Microsoft SkyDrive or Google Drive or SugarSync. There are a bazillion of them, and I have accounts with most of them, and I use most of them. But if you don't have any, or if you're undecided, or if you don't really know where to focus, I'm just going to sort of say, use Dropbox. Now, what I'm going to tell you about Dropbox is mostly true of the other ones too, but I'm really quite a big fan of Dropbox, and I prefer it. So here are some of the advantages of Dropbox. The first thing, the biggest thing the reason that I recommend Dropbox the most for iPad users is that it's mostly universal. So lots and lots of apps have direct connections to various cloud-based servers. But if an app has only one of those connections, 99% chance that will be to Dropbox. It is the most universal. So if you want to store your stuff in the cloud and have the best chance that an iPad app will be able to get at it, Dropbox is the way to go. The second thing is, as I said before, it can stand in as that missing common file system. So here's the idea. You put all of your important files that you might want to access on your iPad in your Dropbox. So when you're on your Mac, you simply open up that folder and you open the files in whatever app you want, and they're just all right there, and they sync from your Mac automatically to Dropbox in the cloud. Then you open up an app on your iPad that has Dropbox access, and oh look, there's all the same files. It's almost as though you have this common hard disk that both your Mac and your iPad are accessing. Now, of course, this does assume that you have a live high-speed internet connection. It's not completely foolproof, and not every app supports Dropbox, but very, very many of them do. And so if you want the most seamless way of sharing documents amongst apps on your iPad and also between your iPad and other devices, Dropbox can give you sort of that virtual file system in the cloud. It is inexpensive or free. It's free if you don't need more than 2 gigabytes of storage, and if you need more, it's not very expensive to add it on. In my experience, and I've used many different cloud-based storage systems, Dropbox is, for in my experience, the most reliable, the easiest to use, and it meets our needs well enough for Take Control that it's what we've standardized on for sharing documents back and forth between editors and authors. Now, I mentioned earlier that the iWork apps, although they don't connect directly to Dropbox, they do have these two options for cloud-based storage, either Documents in the Cloud through iCloud, or they will connect to web dev servers. So there's this really cool service called DropDav. Go to dropdav.com. It's $5 a month. And for $5 a month, what you get is a connection between Dropbox and WebDAV. So basically, this service behind the scenes connects to your Dropbox and channels everything that's in your Dropbox through a web dev server. So the effect is that all of your iWork apps on iOS can see what's in your Dropbox. Otherwise, that wouldn't be possible, and that's really cool. So if you have an iWork app like Pages, Numbers, Keynote, or some other app that has web dev access but not direct Dropbox access, then DropDav is a way of bridging that gap. It's a pretty cool service. All right, so I want to talk about a couple of other sort of loose ends, document management tasks and tools beyond those major techniques for getting things onto and off of your iPad. And the first thing I want to talk about is what is formally called document support, but what most people know as open-in. It's always open-in plus an ellipsis, open-in dot, dot, dot. And let me just show you a couple of instances of how this works. So I'm going to go to the Dropbox app here. And I happen to have a PDF open in Dropbox. This is the PrintMe file for Take Control of Thanksgiving Dinner. And you'll notice in the upper right-hand corner, there are a few little icons. Now, the third one over from the right, the one right to the right of where I'm tapping now, is sort of the standard iOS share icon. Now, very often, if you tap this icon, you'll then see an open in command. But every app does things a little bit differently. The way Dropbox does it is it uses this one on the very right, the arrow pointing down into a little box. And if you tap that, there's an open in. Now, if you're using iOS 6, you won't see what you're looking at now. You will see a grid of icons. I'm still using iOS 5 on this particular iPad, so instead you see a vertically scrolling list. And basically, what this is showing you is other apps on your iPad that are able to open this particular file format. So I'm using a PDF in this example, and I have many apps on my iPad that can read PDFs. I'm just going to choose the first one, which is iBooks. So what that does is it opens iBooks. It's, again, lobbing that ball over the fence, and it's going to open that particular PDF in iBooks, and there it is. So that's sort of a simple example of how you can get a document from one app into another. Now let me show you a slightly more complex example, which is Pages. So in Pages, you have your list of documents here. In a moment, it's thinking. All right. So let me just go back to my documents list, and I'll choose a smaller document. Here's some recipes. You notice that there's sort of a food theme going on here. Now, in Pages, if you want to open a Pages document in another app, there's a little more complex process. So you tap this wrench icon in the upper right, go down to Share and Print, go down to Open in another app, and now Pages makes you choose what format do you want to open this in another app. Well, okay, I'll choose Word format. Converts it to Word format, and then it's going to say, choose the app. Okay, choose the app. Now, again, you get this scrolling list or an iOS 6, a grid, and I'm going to send this to Office Squared HD, and then the same thing happens. It's sending a Word format document to Office Squared HD, which I can now edit there. Now, I went through this whole process just to illustrate the fact that there are a number of different ways that open-in works. Somewhere in almost every app, there is an open-in command, but you may have to dig for it. It may not be in an obvious place, and it may require half a dozen taps to get to it. But in most cases, most modern apps that support documents have some way of sending those documents to other apps. Now, I also want to mention something that I call portal apps. And so what do I mean by a portal app? Well, here are some examples. Now, if you look at this list, you will notice several apps that we covered last time. So, Documents to Go and Office Squared and QuickOffice, for example, are these are apps that do editing of Microsoft Office format documents. You also see GoodReader, of course, and AirSharing and DataNow and RealDocs. There are quite a few documents in this quite a few apps in this category. There are some that focus on editing apps, there are some editing documents, there are some that focus on reading documents, but what they all share in common is that they connect to lots of different places. So most of these will connect to Dropbox. They will connect to Google Drive. They'll connect to SkyDrive. They'll connect to FTP servers. They will connect to iCloud. And so what you can do is you can fetch documents from all these different locations, put them on your iPad. You can rename them, categorize them, move them around, do other stuff to them, perhaps edit them, and then you can send them off to other apps. So they serve as switchboards or switching stations where you can get stuff from anywhere and then send them to other places. So I just want to show you a few more things here about GoodReader because it's sort of the prototypical example of this sort of app. Now, on the left side, I have the documents that are actually on my iPad in GoodReader synced locally. And of course, you can organize them into folders and you can rename them and delete them and do all those sorts of things. And on the right-hand side are all the different places that documents can come from. So GoodReader has a built-in web browser. You can go to a website and fetch something from there. You can download from an FTP server. Down at the bottom, you'll see where it says connect to servers. I have it already set up with my Dropbox account and Google Docs and an IMAP server and Box.net. But if you tap the Add button, you'll see all the different kinds of things this can connect to. It can connect to SkyDrive, it can connect to SugarSync, it connect to web dev servers, FTP, Apple file protocol servers, SMB servers, almost any kind of server. So you can specify as many of these as you want, enter your login credentials, and then just save it in there. And anytime you want to get into there, you do, well, you know, of course I want to go into my Dropbox, and I want to go into this particular folder here, and what's great is that you can set up particular folders, for example, in your Dropbox, to stay in sync. So if I wanted everything in this particular folder within my Dropbox to automatically sync to GoodReader, I could do that. So again, it's a portal app because it allows you to take things from almost any location and send them to any other location. GoodReader has so many features I can't even begin to tell you it will deal with. Zip files, it's really great for displaying PDFs and Word files and lots of other things. It's a very powerful tool. All right. I do want to mention sort of just in passing, if you are the sort of person who uses a document management tool on the Mac, such as Yojimbo or DevonThink, and I, of course, I've written about DevonThink. I'm a big fan of that. I scan a lot of my paper documents directly into DevonThink Pro Office. There are iPad apps that are sort of their counterparts. So if you use Yojimbo for storing documents and snippets and URLs and things, you can use the Yojimbo app on your iPad and sync all that stuff over Wi-Fi. Same thing with DevonThink. If you use DevonThink on a Mac, you can use DevonThink to go on your iPad to keep all of your documents in sync. Now, these iPad apps won't be useful to you if you don't use the Mac counterpart, but I just wanted to mention it as yet another technique for managing documents. If that is the way you do things on a Mac, there is a way of keeping that stuff in sync on your iPad. All right, now I want to completely switch gears for a moment and talk about PDFs. PDFs are one of the most universal file formats. PDFs are great for sharing documents that you want to make sure that just about anybody can read. Take Control books are available in PDF format. The show notes for what you are looking at right now will be available in PDF format. Forms that you download from almost anywhere are available in PDF format. So it's something that you may need to interact with a lot. Now, if all you need to do is look at a PDF, read it, you can use anything because iOS natively supports PDFs. So you can read a PDF in Mail. You can read a PDF in Safari. It doesn't matter. Almost anything on your iPad can read PDFs. Now, there are a couple of apps, including iBooks and GoodReader, that are especially good. They have really nice rendering. They have great navigation and thumbnails, and they add some sort of niceties to the PDF reading experience. But it's almost really not an interesting question of how you go about reading PDFs. What is interesting is how you do more things with PDFs besides reading. So I want to talk about annotating and manipulating PDFs. So these are things like filling out forms, highlighting, adding notes, adding doodles, adding comments. I mentioned filling out forms. Doing sort of more advanced things with PDFs. Now, My favorite tool, and there are many, many, many tools that can do this sort of thing, my favorite tool is PDFpen. I want to show that to you briefly right now. And in order to demonstrate it, I'm actually not going to start with PDFpen. I'm going to start with Safari. So let me switch over here to Safari. Now, I recently moved, so I've had to send some W-9s around, revised with my new address. So I've gone to the IRS website, this is actually live, and gone to the PDF of the W-9. Now, Safari can display the PDF, no problem. What I need to do is I need to fill it out, I need to sign it, and I need to email it to somebody. How do I do that? Well, I'm just going to tap it once and tap Open In. And again, this would normally be a grid in iOS 6. In iOS 5, it's a list. And I'm going to scroll down to PDFpen. So it's going to send that PDF from Safari to PDFpen. And in just a minute, it'll open it up. And there we go. Now, I'm going to touch and hold in the name field. There we go. And I'm just going to type my name. I'm not going to fill out the entire form. And no, you can't see my social security number, but trust me, I can fill out all these things. I can check boxes if I need to check them. But wait a minute, I need to sign this too. How can I do this on my iPad? You do it like this. You touch this button in the upper right. Go to Custom. Now, I have previously added to PDFpen some scanned signatures. Now, sometimes I need to sign my name as Joe Kissel. Sometimes I need to sign it as Joseph Kissel or Joseph W. Kissel. Sometimes I sign in black. When I can get away with it, I sign in purple. So let's just pretend that I wanted to sign this in purple. I touch my previously entered signature. I scoot it down there onto that line, and I'm done. Now, at this point, I can tap that wrench icon, and I can share, and I can email this document to Macworld or to Tanya Angst. In fact, I did. So if you need to fill out a form, sign a form, PDFpen is a great way of doing that. Now, there are lots of other kinds of annotations. If I need to just say, oh, well, this thing that you sent me, I don't understand this part here. So I want to circle that, and I want to add a little, add some highlighting, and maybe I want to, put a strike through, or I want to add a little note. If you need to annotate or mark up or put comments on a PDF, PDFpen can do that too. Now, I should say, if all you need to do is that sort of annotation, PDFpen is possibly overkill. There are lots and lots of other apps, such as these ones that I've listed here, that can do that sort of annotation. I think PDFpen goes beyond that and does lots of other cool things, but there are lots of ways of marking up a PDF and then sharing them with other people on your iPad. Now, there is a particular instance of annotating or marking up a PDF file that I want to talk about, which is signing them. Now, I showed you an instance of taking a previously scanned copy of my physical signature and superimposing it on a PDF, but there are other kinds of digital signatures. Now, I just bought a house, and in the process of buying this house, I had to sign, I can't even tell you how many dozens, perhaps hundreds of documents. About 95% of the documents I had to sign, I did electronically. My real estate agent or my mortgage broker would send me something in email, and I would do a few taps on my iPad, and I would sign the document. So one category of digital signatures is exemplified by apps such as these, Adobe EasySign, DocuSign, and so forth. So these are, to oversimplify a bit, these are services that have apps that let you verify your identity, and then once you've confirmed who you are, you can sign a document basically by tapping on the place where a signature would go, and stuff happens behind the scenes. And these are legally binding signatures, but they don't require you to actually have an image that looks like your signature. There's another category of apps, DocuSign Inc., PDF Forms, and Sign Now, that are really great for capturing a live signature of someone who has not gone through this verification process. So for example, when I was doing the final walkthrough of this house, my real estate agent brought his iPad with him. We were standing out on the sidewalk here, and he said, okay, now you've inspected everything. He whipped out DocuSign ink. He said, now take your finger and write your signature on this page. And I did that, and that, again, is a legally binding signature. It's very much like when you sign for a FedEx package or you sign something else. You're physically writing your signature. You're just not writing on paper. You're writing it on a digital device. So those last three are if you need to collect the signature of someone else, someone who has not already gone through the process of verifying their identity on your iPad. And, of course, there are many other instances of these. Now, what about actually creating PDFs? On a Mac, any app that can print can create PDFs because there's a little button in the lower left corner. You can save to a PDF. You can email a PDF. Making PDFs is really, really simple. But on an iPad, not so simple. So how do you go about creating a PDF from scratch on an iPad? Well, there's an app for that. Well, there are lots and lots of apps. Here are just a few, and I'm going to show you one of them. It's called PDF Provider. So PDF Provider, like many apps, has a direct connection to Dropbox. So one way that you could create a PDF is by putting a document, let's say a Microsoft Word document, in your Dropbox. So I'm going to go in here to this folder, and oh, look, I do have a newsletter. There you go. Just transferred that to my iPad. And here is a newsletter in Microsoft Word format. How do I convert it to PDF? I just tap this button in the upper right corner, convert to PDF. You can also add additional pages to a PDF and so forth, give it a name. And done. So that now appears in the PDFs list. So if you need to convert a Microsoft Office document or a text document or whatever to PDF, you can simply put it in your Dropbox or use the open-in feature and convert it to PDF. What if you need to convert a web page? Now this is something, I had to do a lot when I was working on getting this house, is that you know, my mortgage broker would call me up and he'd say, oh, the lender really needs an up-to-the-minute print, you know, PDF showing all of your bank account balances as of right now. So since your last statement, so I would go onto my bank's website, I would log in, get the view that I needed, and then tap convert, convert to PDF, give it a name, okay. It creates a PDF out of that web page, and again, puts it in the PDF list, and then you can just email that off or do whatever to it. Now this app here converts, you know, documents from Microsoft Office format and text, it converts web pages, photos, the contents of your clipboard, the contents of your address book, and also this. Now, Apple's Maps app, sorry, that's kind of a tongue twister, does not have a print command. So what if you have to print a map or create a PDF from a map on your iPad? Well, you can go into here and you can do a search and you can get the map that you want, and then again, you can just convert this to a PDF. Now, this is a sort of a great, you know, poor man's GPS. If you have a map, have an iPad that doesn't have a GPS built in, and you want to get directions, this is one way to do it. And then you just have that PDF that you can have with you, even when you don't have a net connection. So there are a bunch of apps that do this sort of thing. I don't mean to particularly push this one, but I just want to mention that. This is one of the techniques you can use to create PDFs from almost any kind of a source on an iPad. Now, in a few minutes, I'll also be talking about yet another way you can create PDFs. You can create a PDF from your iPad directly onto your map, onto your Mac or PC using AirPrint utility, and we'll get to that. Now, at this point, I've been using my iPad 2. I need this little 3 down in the corner of the window is a reminder to me that I need to switch to my iPad 3 now because I'm going to talk about scanning. So while I'm doing that, Adam is going to do a little demo of scanning on an iPad.
Well, and I'm actually going to be doing demo more of how we want scanning to work, because Joe's going to show you how it really works. But as he was showing me this stuff, I was thinking, well, geez, you know, this sure looks like the glass of a flatbed scanner. So why can't we just take our iPad and put the piece of paper down? I think you have to make the noise. You go, run it across, and then you'd have the page on your iPad. But unfortunately, that's not how it works. So Joe will have to show us how you really do it.
Alrighty. Thank you. That was beautiful. I love the sound effects. All right. Now there's if you don't, so of course you're going to have your Doxy Go or some other nice little compact scanner with you at all times. But if you don't, and you really need to get a physical piece of paper onto your iPad, maybe to, you know, fill out a form or email somebody, you can use your iPad itself as a scanner if you have a modern enough iPad. So an iPad 3, an iPad 4, an iPad mini are just fine. Unfortunately, the original iPad doesn't have a camera at all. And although the iPad 2 does have a camera, it's too low res to be used for decent scans. That's why I've switched to my iPad 3 for the rest of this demo. Now, there's a curiosity. There are many, many, many scanning apps available for iOS. There's a curiosity. I don't quite know why this is, but they sort of fall into two categories. There are those that are really good at scanning and sort of making a document look good, but they don't have optical character recognition, so they can't actually create searchable PDFs. And then there's a second category of scanning apps that do optical character recognition, and they can create searchable PDFs, but they're not as good at the actual image processing part. I don't know why this is, but I'm going to show you one of each just to give you an idea. So examples of apps that are really good at scanning but don't have a built-in OCR function are, you know, FasterScan, JotNot Scanner Pro, and Scanner Pro. I'm going to show you FasterScan HD. So here it is, and I just have a little document here I got with my new printer. So I'm going to tap the camera icon here, and I'm going to scooch back a little bit and take a snapshot of this piece of paper. And the first thing it's going to try to do is figure out where the edges of the document are. And actually, it did a really great job. Normally, you have to sort of mess with the corners. When I was practicing this, it didn't do a very good job at all, but hey, it got them right. So that's great. I'm going to click Next. And it's going to straighten out the image for me and remove the background. And that's it. It's done, and you can send that as a PDF to whoever you want. The only thing is, it's not real text. It's just an image. It's not searchable. If you want searchable, let's try a different app. In this case, MyScans Pro. I'm going to switch to a different document here. Same kind of a thing. You take a photo. This is a poem that I used to read to my son every night, or recite to my son every night before bed. So I'm going to take a photo of this, and let's use that. Now, you can see this did not do a very good job at all of finding the edges of the paper, so I'm going to move these little things in so that it looks like just the document there. And click Done. And again, it's going to do a little animation there to straighten that out. It's not perfect. It's not what you get from a flatbed scanner, but it's okay. Now, at this point, this is just an image. Let's say I want to turn it into searchable text. So I click the search button. And yes, I do want that to happen in English. And it's going to do this little groovy animated magnifying glass kind of effect there. All right, so now if I search for a word like beautiful, you can see it found and highlighted three instances of the word beautiful. So from here, I can save it as a PDF, I can send it to another app, I can email it to someone, and this is you have a full searchable, selectable, copyable text, not just the image. Again, I want to emphasize the image quality is not as good as what you would get from a desktop scanner, but for on-the-go scanning, it's really not bad at all. All right, let's go back here. So I've shown you FasterScan HD. I also showed you MyScans Pro. I'm not going to worry about the slides. These are all listed in the PDF that you will get. Now I want to talk about printing. And in order to talk about printing, I have to talk about AirPrint. Basically, AirPrint is a technology Apple created that lets your iPad connect to wireless printers. So if you have a fairly modern printer, printer made within the last few years that has a built-in network connection, chances are very good that it supports AirPrint. Now I just have a brand new Brother laser printer here. It has a built-in Wi-Fi transceiver, so it is on Apple's list, and I can print directly from my iPad to this printer. So I'll just show you how this works really quickly. I'll go into, let's go to Dropbox. And back in here, I'll picture my son, but it's not a color printer. So just go back to this and tap print. And again, the print command might be located in various different places depending on where your app is. I don't really want to print all pages. I just want to print the first page. And if the printer you wanted wasn't already selected, you can select the printer up there. And there are various options depending on the capabilities of your printer. And you tap print, and in a moment, you should hear the printer whir to life, and that will print. Now, I know this is very exciting, waiting for a page to print. And there it is. Alrighty. Now, if you are not lucky enough to have a modern Wi-Fi printer that supports AirPrint, what can you do? Well, you can use an AirPrint utility. There are a few. There's HandyPrint, which is free and runs only on OS X. There's Fingerprint, which comes in varieties for OS X and Windows. And then there's my favorite, which is Printopia. So I'm just going to switch here briefly to my Mac and zip over to System Preferences. This is the Printopia preference pane. And basically, you install this and you turn it on. And it makes any printer that is available to your Mac, whether it's connected via USB or Ethernet or whatever, any printer that your Mac can see is immediately available to all of your iOS devices. But not only that, as you can see, you can also set up Printopia to save to your desktop or any other folder. You can save to your Dropbox or any folder within your Dropbox. You can send a document that you're printing from your iPad directly to an app like DevonThink ProOffice or Evernote or iPhoto. So basically what you're doing, what Printopia allows you to do, is to either print directly to any printer that your Mac can see or create a PDF in the location of your choice. So if you are back on your iPad and you're in, let's say, Pages, and you open some document. And we're nearly done, by the way. Of course, I chose the longest document I have in here to open up. The one thing I really wish the iPad had was a command period, a cancel. Like, I changed my mind, just stop doing this and do something else. Yeah. All right, so we'll go here, we'll print, and in this case, instead of printing to an actual printer, I am going to choose Save to Desktop via Printopia, and I'm going to tap Print. Now, my iPad is going to think about this for a couple of minutes because it has to basically do the conversion to PDF. As soon as this little window goes away, I want to show you one other thing about printing. It has to get past there, and now if I double tap the home button, you will see in the lower left-hand corner a print center icon. This only appears while a print job is in the process of printing, and that includes printing to PDF. If I tap this, you can get a summary of that job. You can see what's happening, how many copies, when it started, where it's going, and you can cancel that print job if you need to. So that applies to both physical printing and to PDFs. Now, I will just mention, if you have some printing situation that is not covered by Printopia, don't worry. There are a million printing apps. You'll probably find one that meets your needs. Just 2 days ago, I learned about this gadget called XPrint Server. It's about the size of an iPhone, has an Ethernet port, and has a USB port. So you plug the Ethernet port into your network, you plug the USB port into a printer, and then that printer, or any printers you have connected via a hub, are then available to all of the iOS devices on your network. Now, it's $99, which seems to me to be kind of expensive for what it does, but it's just an example of there is almost definitely some way of printing no matter what your situation is. So at this point, I would like to ask what questions you've come up with during the presentation, and I'll do my best to answer them.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe. We do have a number of questions that have come in via the chat that we'll answer next. But that's it for our prepared presentation. So if you need to get back to your weekend, thanks so much for watching. And remember, you can come back at any time to watch the Q&A session or any other bits that you might have missed or that just went a little too fast. So our first question, Joe, how can you use Dropbox if you don't have Wi-Fi access all the time? Does the iPad keep a copy you can work on that it then later updates when you have a connection?
Yes.
Okay, that was really easy.
That was my Joe Biden response. So yes. So what happens is you go into the Dropbox app or to any other app you have that supports Dropbox, and you make sure that you go into that folder and preferably actually select that particular file. Because what it'll do is it'll say, well, here's a list of all the files in this particular folder. It's not going to necessarily sync them all, or you, more to the point, you may not know what the exact progress of all of them is. So if there is some particular document you want to make sure is in sync, you can tap it. Then the Dropbox app has a local copy, or whichever other app has a local copy. Then you go away. You're no longer on your Wi-Fi connection, and you still have that copy on your iPad. You can use OpenIn to get it to different apps. And then once it's saved, in the Dropbox app and you get your Wi-Fi connection back, that new copy will upload to Dropbox. Now, I do want to mention, as I said before, GoodReader has this syncing feature. So you can say, within my Dropbox, please always keep these particular folders in sync. Now, they will only do the live syncing when the GoodReader app is open on your iPad. So you have to make sure that you leave it open long enough for those to sync. But it is a way of making sure that you have local copies on your iPad of whichever documents you need. These apps can use, if you have an iPad that has a cellular connection and you have a data plan that supports it, this all can happen over 3G or LTE or whatever, but that can also kind of chew up your bandwidth pretty fast, so be careful with your data usage.
All right. Sherry asks, I generally need to view or edit Word documents. I don't know of an app that helps with Word. Also, what if you don't have an internet connection at all or have one only infrequently? Is there a way to run this through iTunes Sync? Or can you, well, this is sort of what we just said, but can this be run through Dropbox?
Right. Okay. So back to the first question. If you don't have a Wi-Fi connection at all, then USB cable, hook up your iPad to your Mac or PC, use iTunes, you can drag things into a particular app, and then use OpenIn or Document Support to move them around on your iPad. So basically, if you don't have Wi-Fi at all, USB is the answer. And with USB, you pretty much have to use iTunes. There are some ways around that, but they're cumbersome. Now, back to your first question. Sorry?
So what about Word?
Yeah, Word. Go back to presentation number one. In the last episode from a month ago, we talked about apps that can edit Word documents. Now, I mentioned a few of them today, so Office Squared HD, QuickOffice, Documents to Go are a few of the ones that can view and edit Word documents. As I talked about last time, there are some trade-offs. Some of them have more features than others. Most of them can't display or edit all of the capabilities of Word, but at least they'll preserve what comes in, unlike Pages. So Pages can read Word documents, but in the process, you lose a lot of stuff. And if you bring a Word document into Pages and then send it back out again in Word format, a lot of the content and the formatting can be lost. So I don't particularly recommend Pages for that application.
Okay. Can you say a little bit more about document management with Circus Pony's notebook? Does it work with Dropbox or with documents in the cloud?
I have Circus Pony's notebook. I have used it slightly. I don't actually know the answer to either of those questions.
The website does say that you can sync your notebooks wirelessly between your Mac and iPad via Dropbox. So I think they're probably relying on Dropbox like so many other people primarily.
Yeah, a lot of apps, I don't know about Circus Pony's notebook in particular, a lot of apps do support both iCloud and Dropbox, but remember, they don't keep your documents in the cloud in sync with Dropbox. It's just two completely separate paths to get at different documents. So I have notebook. I don't use it that much, so I don't know about that particular aspect offhand, but I would imagine Dropbox would be the way.
Okay. All right. Here's a question from Matt Carter. I have GoodReader and have opened a PDF on my iPad, but I don't see how to close the PDF and get back to GoodReader's main page. And I will say, I love GoodReader too. It's a fabulous app, but it can be a little baroque at times.
It is. So I, during our practice session, I was making a comment to this about this very point to Adam, how GoodReader is very, very powerful, but it has a curious, an odd interface that is not entirely self-explanatory. So here is GoodReader, and I have a PDF open. Now, a few seconds have passed, so all you see right now is the PDF. I'm just going to tap once in it, and, sorry, tap. Come on. Yeah, there we go. See, it's so easy, a child can do it.
If only we had a child.
If only we had a child. My child is out right now. Now, you see, I'm making a fool of myself because I thought it was going to be so easy. And it's not behaving for me.
I wonder, it may be because of reflection.
Yeah, I'm using this app to show what's on my iPad screen on my Mac, and that sort of changes the rules a bit. But whoopsie, that's not what you should do.
If I remember correctly, what's supposed to happen is you tap, and then controls come up and sort of gray on the top.
What's supposed to happen is you tap once, and controls appear at the top, and one of those controls is going to be a button that says Documents. But it's not doing it for me, and of course, when you're demoing things live, that's when things go wrong. That's a cosmic rule. It always happens that way. If you are still having trouble after this presentation, you can email me and we'll work it out. So I believe that's what's supposed to happen. Obviously, it's not happening right now. Sorry.
Okay. Another question here. I have downloaded the Kindle app on my iPad mini, but can no longer make highlights in the book. Would I be able to use PDF Pen to do that?
Only if you're reading a PDF in Kindle. So Kindle can read PDFs, but more often it reads Amazon's more proprietary format. So unfortunately, there's no way of getting a Kindle format book out of the Kindle app into something like PDF Pen. That's a digital rights management thing. Amazon doesn't want you to do that. If you happen to have a PDF in Kindle, then yes, sure. But otherwise, no, sorry. And I don't know what's going on with the highlighting. That would be like an Amazon tech support question, sorry.
The thing I found funny recently about the Kindle app is that Tanya and I share the same Amazon account for Kindle books because we're married and we can do that kind of stuff. It's not copying if you're married. But so I was reading a Kindle book, and she had highlighted something accidentally. And I'm one of those people who doesn't like to see highlights in books. So I was like, oh, I can take this off. It was great. So you can do that at least when the app works. So,
yeah.
Okay, another question. I do think this is confirmation from Eolake. Does Dropbox and GoodReader sync only when they're in the foreground
yes.
Of the iPad? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
One of the basic truisms of the iPad and iOS in general is that not that many things are allowed to happen in the background. So if something isn't happening, bring the app in question to the foreground.
Yeah, there are rules like if an app is actively in the process of downloading something and you quit it or you switch to another app, it has like, I think, 10 seconds to wrap up that download. But with certain rare exceptions, apps can't download or sync in the background.
Okay. Alan asks, how did you get your scanned signatures into the iPad and PDF Pen?
Oh, I knew somebody was going to ask me this. All right. So I slightly cheated. So here's what I did. I use PDF Pen on the Mac. I had a page basically that had a bunch of my different signatures, and so there's a process you go through in PDF Pen on the Mac to it has a little, you know, sort of a little library of signatures, because that's one of the great uses for PDF Pen on the Mac is to you know, virtually sign documents. So basically you take a piece of paper, you sign your name, and you scan that. Or take a picture of it. Anyway, you get that image into PDF Pen on your Mac. You select that area, and you designate that as a signature. And you can do this as many different times as you want. And then I sort of took this page with a bunch of my signatures as individual selectable objects. I used Documents in the Cloud to transfer that to PDF Pen on my iPad, and then I added each one of those signatures to PDF Pen for iPad's custom list. I know that wasn't a very complete set of instructions. The better answer is go to the Smile website and look at their support documents. It's not that hard to do, but basically the idea is you have to start with a physical copy of your signature somehow and turn that into an object that PDF Pen will then superimpose.
Okay. Alan also asks, and I think this is related to sort of that weird dichotomy of scanning apps that we ran into, is can you scan in one app and then pass the scan to another one that does OCR?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, again, open-in thing is very app-specific. Apps don't have to support it at all, and they don't support it sort of consistently or uniformly. But in principle, yeah, there's no problem. Usually OCR apps can either accept documents that you've taken a picture of or that you have used OpenIn to get from another app or that are in your camera roll or your photo library. So pretty much anything, any image that you can get onto your iPad in some fashion, you can usually OCR.
One slight addition to that, though, and this is something that just, I don't know, it bothers me. I'm a little bit retentive about this kind of thing, is I don't like having multiple copies of my stuff all over the place. And so if you scan in one app and then transfer it to another app, you're going to have a copy in both, and so you might want to be cleaning one up and sort of feel like you're doing extra busy work in that way.
But that's sort of the sandboxing story. Anytime you use OpenIn, you get two copies. And so going back and cleaning up after yourself is some work.
Okay, Richard says he recently purchased PDF Pen, tried to load about 30 PDF documents from iTunes into it. It wouldn't accept them. It would only do about 5 or 6. And he said tech support didn't seem to have an answer for that. Have you run into any limitations in PDF Pen?
I haven't. I know a person who...
we know a guy.
We know a girl. Well, we know a guy too, but yeah.
Yeah, Richard, I would say talk to us afterwards in email, and we'll hook you up with, say, the developers.
Yep.
Okay, let's see. Chuck's saying, everyone seems to recommend GoodReader, but I find it complex and cluttered with menus and buttons and such as to make it unusable. Am I doing something wrong? Is there a dummies mode?
with great power comes great... No. yeah, look, so... As Adam's word Baroque is exactly the right word. It's weird. Now, personally, I find that once I learned how to use it, it's different, but it makes sense and it gets the job done. If it really bothers you, if you just can't stand the interface and you read the help and you try it out and it's just not clicking for you, try Readle Docs. Readle Docs has a very similar set of features. A completely different interface. You might like the interface better. The problem with the iPad is that, you know, you have a small screen, things have to be made so that they can work with your fingers, and you don't have some of the niceties that you have when you have mouse or trackpad control. Drag and drop is harder to do. So companies that are making iPad apps have to come up with different ways of doing things. Some of them do a great job, some of them do a less good job. I know GoodReader is a little bit odd. I like it because it really does everything. It's that Swiss Army knife. I do understand that the interface is not entirely self-explanatory. If you don't like it, I'm going to say try Readle Docs.
Okay. So two final questions are kind of blast from the past, because they actually were more the kinds of things we covered last time. Joan wants to be reminded of if it's possible to do a forward delete when typing on the iPad. And I'm trying to remember that too.
If you have an external keyboard.
Yes, keyboard. So not on the internal keyboard.
Not with a virtual on-screen keyboard. Nope.
Okay, and then someone whose handle is No Sound, hopefully the sound started working, asks, is iWorks a good replacement for Word and Excel, or is it better to stick with the Office Suite? And I think I'm almost guessing this is more of a question on the Mac, because there is no Office Suite for the iPad yet, although, as we talked about last time, one is rumored.
Yes, so the short answer to this is, you know, go back to the first presentation where I cover this in detail. Just very quickly, you know, as I said earlier, the iWork apps are okay. I mean, they're really good at what they do, but only sort of if you're willing to stay within Apple's universe. If you know, Pages document is going to stay in Pages format. If you need to transfer documents to and from Microsoft Word, like you're sharing them with other users and stuff, then iWork is not a good solution. And there are several others that are. I mentioned OfficeWord HD and Documents2Go and QuickOffice. Go back and look at the earlier presentation for details on all these. But basically, these are much better. They're not as powerful in terms of the number of features, but they're way, way, way better in terms of sharing. So that's what I would go for.
Okay. Well, that wraps it up for the second show of Take Control Live, Working with Your iPad. Thanks to Joe for sharing so many great technical details, and thanks to everyone who asked questions before and during the show. And we did get questions before, so please, if you have questions for the next one, check your season pass for the topics and send them in to Joe. We will be updating your season pass PDF with all the notes and links that Joe discussed in this show very soon, probably in the next, you know, hour or so, and we'll send out email as soon as it's available for download. For our next show, we're switching back to a weekday, Wednesday, February 6th, also at 1 p.m. Eastern. See you then. I'm Adam Angst, and thank you for joining us.